Welcome everyone. This is the Planning Commission regular meeting, April 25th, 2024. We're starting at 7. Okay, the first thing on the agenda, who's here for the commission is Elena Hughes, Daryl Fuller, Nancy Tosta, Colleen Thompson, thank you, and is
yourself,
myself, Tina Carlson,
no
Shelley. Okay, and Jessica is here as clerk and deputy clerk, Lacey. Okay, so for the record, the first thing on the agenda is to approve the agenda. Do you have any comments?
I move to approve the agenda.
Okay.
I'll second that, Elena.
Okay, thank you. Nancy approved. Elena seconded. Any comments before we vote? Okay, I'm going to go for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. We are unanimous. Tina, aye. Okay. In this agenda, does anybody have a conflict of interest on the Planning Commission they would like to share? Okay, no conflict of interest.
Oh, I mean, I get, yeah, when we talk about the subdivision stuff, I've got my open subdivision application.
Okay,
always.
Okay, thank you. Approving the minutes, there are no minutes to approve, so we're gonna, but I just wanted, so that will be next meeting, and then the public comments on agenda items. Anybody have a public comment on the agenda items? Okay, go ahead, John.
Thank you, Tina. Yes, John Barath, town council member. Several things on the agenda tonight that I want to embark on. First, I really want to thank everyone on the Active Path Committee and all the other citizen volunteers we have in town who've been making great efforts. I think that's what makes Boulder such a wonderful community. And I'm looking forward to seeing what the report looks like. Regarding the subdivision ordinance, the town council has repeatedly identified this as the top priority for the next few months, and you're well aware of that. There are a number of discretionary items where you as representatives of the community need to provide some decisions and guidance for how we want to move forward. And I understand they can do that tonight and appreciate his efforts on that.
Will you wait a second? I touched the cord and it stopped. Just a second, sorry. This howl. Sorry. I'd rather it be recorded and stop you.
Okay. Here, you can have us. Can you?
Okay, we're good. Okay. So sorry, we're back on. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And then the other item was the follow-up on the April 11th workshop, which I think was, again, just a good outpouring of community civic involvement. And really great to see all the people who participated. I think and a very important next step will be to have some formal communication between the Planning Commission and the Town Council. We're very well involved with that workshop to just see if there's political support for specific overall goals. I think that I've talked about this with a number of town council members. I've heard no opposition, which is very good, but also a couple mentions that this is probably not the highest priority. And as I said, I think the subdivision ordinance is what the town council is most concerned about. So that's what I have. Thank you very much and have a good meeting.
Thank you. All right. Any other public comments? Okay. Next on our agenda is the staff reports. Do you have a staff report at all, Jess? Anything you want to share?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I have one that I'm sorry I got off my Google thing. I don't know how I did that. I'm, I do know how I did it, but anyway,
we did that.
Okay.
I, at this point, so everyone, planning commission, town council, and staff should all have received an email with your new town email. We know that it's a little bit of a big adjustment for everyone to switch over to that. So if you need help, please let us know. And we're not like setting any deadline, but as soon as you can start using it, it is best. All town business should be handled through that email and that email only. But if you have any questions or need help with any of it, please reach out to me, Lacey. Josh is really great about it also, and we can help you guys out with any of that. And if you have it, like if you're like, Jess, I don't know what you're talking about, I didn't receive an email, please let me know that also, because then we can make sure that we sent it to the right spot. So otherwise, like I said, if everyone can start using those to make sure that is your town email, and use everyone else's as well. So, you know, reorganizing your whole contact list. I know it takes a little bit, but start using everyone else's official town emails as well. But again, we know it's going to take some time. It's a big adjustment, especially since everyone's already used to using their own personal. So we know there's some grace with that for everyone. But
right. Yeah. And getting from the from my email to the town, I mean, to share with the town, I'm just still learning that. Are you on now?
No.
No. Okay. Okay. So everyone out here is
leaving, so
yeah, that's fine.
Dealing with that. I looked at my password. I know I have the password.
You can share. I lost mine, so exactly. Anyway.
It was very long.
Yes, it was.
Anyway, so okay. Everybody,
I have a question.
Sure.
Just so I did get on and I read Tina's proposed agenda and other materials. Mm-hmm. It seems like Google Docs. I had a very difficult time trying to go in and make comments on Tina's document. It was different than going into the folder. So maybe at some point, you know, just maybe my incompetence, but at some point just having an update on, you know, because I made some comments back to her and then they didn't show up and then she didn't see them. And then she lost her email password. And so anyway.
Also, if that ever happens, just tell me because I have access to it all.
Yeah, that's but what you I figured, here, but you weren't here. Yeah. But that, okay.
Yes. Thank you for not bothering me.
Actually, I did.
No, you bothered me once I got back. It was good timing. So, no, it was great. Thank you, everyone.
Okay. Okay, so an update on the Google. Just that. Okay. So, all right. Thank you. Erin's not here, so you know, I don't know what's coming up, but for us, from the zoning administrator, but I assume nothing at the moment. Updates on the Boulder Active Path Committee. Oh, that's me. And it's been a really great committee. I think easy to work with. Their goal was to empower people to make informed decisions, and they really worked to figure out all the information that needed to go out to the community about pathways, options, kind of getting people interested in all sorts of options for the future, for, you know, maybe also for possible use of the grant. So there was a lot of information there. It was amazing how people got through it. Probably about 40 people came to the forum last, more than probably 40 people came to the forum, and they all had stickers that indicated what they liked, what they thought was good, but not their high priority, their favorites, good, and not interested, or didn't want that. So they had, everybody had 9 stickers for the pathways. There was some confusion. It was hard to kind of make sure that everybody knew what they were doing, but I think there was lots of good comments also. All of that information is going to be put together in a statistics for you know, the outcome, and includes all the information, including all the comments, and then we're going to put that out on an actual website, which we'll let Peg know to put out that it's available. And hopefully we can figure out a way of getting more comments from people who were not able to come based on the information that's on the website. So the maps will be on the website. There will be, you know, the comments of all of that will be on the website. So, and then they're hoping to have all of that kind of formatted for the town council by the June meeting. I'm not, at this point, I don't know what our position is as far as what we want to do on commenting or being part of that as the planning commission. I feel like not really clear what that is. But if any, we can actually talk about that at our next meeting if we want to. Go ahead.
Can I just ask a question?
Sure.
Given that the Planning Commission formed this committee, you know, we had that discussion, and I know you recommended a lot of the names and we voted on it. Isn't this a subcommittee of the Planning Commission that it should, whatever recommendations, reports come out of this committee should come to the Planning Commission for discussion, and then we would forward it to the town council? Like, that was what I thought the process was.
Okay, so I'm trying to think if it can be sent to you, to us by the first meeting, our regular meeting in 2 weeks, then we can send it on to the town council.
Well, that's up to your committee.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I feel like they're hoping to get some more comments on that website, and but yeah. They want, you know, they kind of had a deadline of June something, so could go to the town council later, I guess, in June, but anyway.
Or July.
It comes to us in June, and then maybe it'll be ready to go on.
Okay, so can I ask what the, what things we are going to be looking at?
Well, I would assume that what will come forward would be compare the options we considered and here are the pros and cons and here's what the community seems to support. And then we would look at it and say, yeah, that makes sense. We'll move it forward, or we might have some questions. I don't know. I mean, because right. I don't know what format it would come to us in.
Okay. Okay. We'll put that on our list.
Erin did just write and say that she just can't connect because of the internet, but she really didn't have any updates.
Oh, great. Thank you.
She's been trying to get on, I guess.
Okay.
Can I? So I think as long as we're on the subject, as far as the Planning Commission, what does happen? I mean, I know that it went to the Planning Commission because of land use, and somebody, I mean, I heard something about them having to have a conditional use permit or something. I think that's the thing that I'm...
Who had to have a conditional use permit?
The committee, as far as what they're... Like, I actually don't know the direction that it's headed to. And are we just giving a recommendation from the committee to us and then on to the town council for them to vote on anything? You know, after that, is that kind of, we'll just make a recommendation from the information that's been compiled, and then it goes to the town council, and they
decide how to proceed,
talk it out. Thank you.
Okay,
thank you.
All right, so we'll try and get that done in May. Let's see, I think that is all I had to say.
These are all maps and everything over, Tina?
Yeah.
That was from the, okay.
From that committee.
Okay.
I just want to commend you, Tina, and the whole task force or committee. Because I think they did a fabulous job of pulling a lot of information together and running, a complicated discussion in a reasonable way. So
great.
It was good.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot of interaction, and people that I dragged there said, wow, this is great. You did a lot of work. So it was good.
Oh, good. Yeah, it was.
I think you could also say, I
I have to take them down tomorrow, but then they will go back up. So if you have anyone who's interested and said they didn't get to see it, it'll be hanging out here and it'll be available
Saturday through Wednesday.
Yeah.
We do have a gallery show that's coming in Wednesday. So, but I'll get that out on the pegboard so everybody knows too. But, and then just getting the information out, to the community and whatever form we get it to, have more comments so that everybody who wants to comment can. And I have to say that Devaki has been instrumental in getting this all online. And she had a friend, Stephanie, who's around town right now, who has done a lot of this for all, gathering information and putting it together. So they were very helpful at the last meeting. So that's that. Okay. So Caden.
Good evening.
Today, what I asked Caden was that if he can go through the things that he definitely needs and what we really need to give him information on. We know the roads is one of them, and then also I gave him the list that John gave us on December 13th to go through and just give his recommendations or comments on what we might need to do. Is that how you understood it, Caden?
Yeah, and if it's okay, I'll actually just start with John's list because I think that'll answer 80 to 90% of my questions that I have now. And okay. Then I just have a couple specific ones in relation to the ordinance that I would ask.
Okay, great.
Cool. Do you all have that? Does the Planning Commission have that printout of the three pages from John? Yes. So if I go through them, will people know what I'm talking about?
Right.
Okay. So I'll just start and go through them. Number one, the land use authority. In respect to subdivisions, well, I guess I can answer it on a broad perspective too. You know, the land use authority is the person or body that is appointed by the legislative body, which is the town council, to review and make decisions on land use applications. And so take Garfield County, for example, we have different land use authorities for different things. So a conditional use permit only needs approval from the Planning Commission, not the County Commission. So in terms of conditional use permits, the Planning Commission is the land use authority. Now, subdivisions and zone changes, currently the land use authority is technically both the Planning Commission and the County Commission because they both review and make considerations on that. Granted, the Planning Commission makes a recommendation to the County Commission, but they're still somewhat a land use authority. So for the subdivision ordinance, the land use authority would still be the town council in a sense, but it would be not the Planning Commission anymore. It would be the administrative land use authority, which is a person or a board appointed by the town council to review those. And then that'll take me into number two. What is the difference between a preliminary and a final subdivision plat? The preliminary is the initial plat. If they don't have the conceptual plan review meeting, which as you all know by now, state law doesn't allow communities to require one. But even, you know, in my experience in the last 12 months since the change, I've never had a subdivider not request that meeting. It's beneficial for both the subdivider and the community to have that meeting. It's going to save the subdivider thousands of dollars in survey and engineering fees alone just to come meet with the local jurisdiction, make sure they're checking all the boxes, and then move on. So after that preliminary meeting, if it's had, and we would hope that it is, that it does take place, the preliminary plat would be to the administrative land use authority. And then once that's approved, the final plat would still be approved by the town council. And that's the way that I have the subdivision ordinance drafted, which by the way, I'm about 85 to 90% finished with the first draft. So the May 9th meeting. I've mentioned this to some of you via email. My wife is due on the 12th, so I'm not going to commit to the May 9th meeting. But the 23rd, I think, you know, the work meeting there. So I will have you a draft probably by the end of April that I will send out, and then we can review it. And if you want to discuss it in the May 9th meeting, you know, obviously you're welcome to. I just don't plan on me being there, but I will plan on the 23rd work meeting.
So can I just clarify that?
Yeah.
So the town council does the final, and the authority, whatever authority we put together, we were considering our zoning administrator as one, and possibly a planning commissioner or something like that as the, you know, to be involved with her defining the fact that the application is actually complete. Does that make, is that, or do you need a whole different committee but appointed by the town council?
So it can either be an individual or a board appointed by the town council. If it's a board, I would recommend at least three members. So you don't have, if there's a split vote, you could have majority and a quorum. And I don't believe you can have more than one planning commission member. So I think you can have one, but I don't think you can have more than one. So it could be your zoning administrator, a planning commissioner, and then, you know, you could just do a member of the public to kind of balance it out. Huh. So either a board with, you know, an odd number or an individual, but it has to be separate from the planning commission. What was that?
Appointed by the town council.
Correct. Yep.
Okay, great.
Yep. Pre-application discussions, kind of talked about that a little bit. Again, it's we can't require it, but it's sure nice to have those. And those can, you know, they don't have to be scheduled on a specific date, like the first Monday of every month. They, you know, and I wouldn't recommend that just because there's, you know, 90% of the time you're not going to have one. You know, that would meet that deadline, and you would hate to make somebody wait 25 days. So I would recommend when those are requested, just to have them. And obviously you have to respond within a certain time period anyway, 15 business days. So you would obviously want to get that done as soon as possible. Prepare and post all legal documents.
In one more question, sorry.
Yep.
Back on the land use authority, when I read the Utah League of Cities sort of facts about it, it says the land use authority, so you can't have members of the town or the city council who will be reviewing subdivision applications, but that's not allowed. And so when you just said that the land use authority would review the preliminary and then the town council would review the final,
So there's a difference. Mm-hmm. So a land use authority, if you're just looking at LUDMA, you know, Title 10, 9A, Municipal Land Use Development Management Act. And if you go to definitions, when you read the definition of just land use authority, it will say, I think I have it right here. Land use authority means a person, board, commission, agency, or body, including the local legislative body, designated by the local legislative body to act upon a land use application. So the land use authority is the authority that acts upon a land use application. Now it gets a little bit confusing because SB 174, the Subdivision Amendments Act, it designates or it requires a municipality to designate an administrative land use authority. So the administrative land use authority is the authority specifically designated to review subdivision applications for single family dwellings, multifamily dwellings, et cetera. Whereas just the land use authority is the authority designated to accept all applications. So administrative land use authority and land use authority, they're different. That makes sense.
Well,
It makes sense, you know. It's just, could they make it any more confusing and not easy? Like, you really have to pay attention.
Yeah, they should have just called it, you know, the subdivision review authority or something like that, not the administrative. So just for the purposes of this, just kind of think of it as that. The administrative land use authority is basically, you know, the authority to review the person or board to review subdivision applications. And the land use authority is any body or individual that's reviewing an application for land use. That could be conditional use permits, zone changes, you know.
Which is basically the planning commission here.
It's every board that's involved.
Commission, ZA, and TC.
Yeah.
Depends on which application it is.
As part of this, you know, I know you guys have kind of a road standards sheet, and that is one question that I had. A lot of municipalities and counties, you know, prefer different things. I know in Boulder, you know, there's existing road issues like Lower Boulder Road and some of the others. What is the Planning Commission and I guess just the community as a whole stance on new development? Would you prefer, because there's a lot of communities nowadays that put language in there that says any new road in a subdivision, obviously you have your minimum standards, but then they expand on that and they say any new road in a subdivision shall meet the minimum standards of the road that it connects to. So for example, if you do a subdivision off of the chip sealed portion of Lower Boulder Road, if you have that language in your ordinance, it would require the subdivider to chip seal as well. And that does two things, in my opinion, that keeps the standards consistent. And if the town is going to accept that maintenance responsibility, obviously it puts that. So it does three things, keeps them consistent. If the town's going to accept that maintenance responsibility, puts that financial initial burden on the developer, which is what you want because they recoup that cost when they sell the lands. And then the third thing is, and you know, like in areas like Boulder that have, you know, kind of significant sloped areas. So the example that we use all the time in the unincorporated areas is like Panguitch Lake. A lot of those subdivisions are accessed off of the shore road that goes around Panguitch Lake, which is chip seal. And then as you enter those subdivisions, and I know this is the case with Boulder as well, especially more on the northeast side and the east side, when you're accessing those subdivisions, you're climbing up off of the main road, you know, up a kind of a steeper sloped road. And when those roads, when they flood or when it's wet, all of that runoff goes down those roads, which they're designed to do. And it brings all that debris, whether it's flood debris or even just gravel from the road, washes all that down right onto the chip sealed road. So you're then left with, you know, gravel and dirt and mud on your nice chip sealed road that you have to go clean up because, you know, the subdivider or developer wasn't required to make those improvements. So that's the arguments for requiring improved roads. The arguments, you know, against that and why you may want to consider just a 6-inch base, like pit run gravel with a 3-inch cap of 1-inch minus gravel would be, it's obviously more affordable. You know, it kind of keeps that rural feel where, you know, you kind of have the back roads subdivisions. And then it would be less costs on the development, which means, or you would hope, less costs to purchase the lots. So there's kind of two arguments there. And that would be one thing that I would ask of you all would be, which direction do you want to go toward? I don't know if you have that answer today, or if that would take a work meeting or two to kind of hash out.
We'll let you know on that. We'll be discussing that.
We don't have the answer today.
Yeah. There's pros and cons, right? I mean, it's obviously easier, and in the long run, it's actually cheaper to maintain a chip sealed road than it is a gravel road because you don't have to grade it. And you know, in the wet months, you know, it gets muddy and rutted out, so you have to continue to grade it and then bring in material. Once you chip seal the road, its elevation and slope stays pretty much the same. But then it's increased costs, you know, upfront. So kind of different things to look at it.
How thick does chip seal need to be for the snow plows to not destroy it in a bad winter?
So that is one thing with chip seal, which, you know, the only roads that are actually paved, asphalt paved, are UDOT rights of ways. You know, so chip seal is the common pavement. When people say pavement in Garfield County, it's chip seal. And that is one thing with chip seal is, you know, it's with the kind of more jagged rocks, it is easier to get caught in a plow blade. But typically those plows, they do have their blade. They're not actually scraping the road. They're, especially our county guys, you know, they're a quarter inch or so above. And so we really don't have terrible luck with that. The worst, the two worst things that you can do with chip seal is not plow it, is to let it sit. And then as soon as it melts, to drive over it. We're actually dealing with that on our, we just chip sealed it last year with the Forest Service, the North Fork Road or East Fork Road, sorry, that goes to Tropic Reservoir. The Forest Service closed that road throughout the winter and then prematurely opened it. And all this traffic the last month or so has been on it. And we've lost, it's brand new, it's not even 6 month old chip seal. We've lost about 33% of that road. It's sunk in about a foot because it was wet and people were driving on it. So the worst thing you can do is not plow it and then drive on it as soon as it thaws. And then it's also, chip seal is not great in cul-de-sacs just because it's so thin. When you have vehicles constantly turning around on it, that's what you'll see, potholes in cul-de-sacs a lot more. It's really good for straight sections. So cul-de-sacs, you know, you'll just find yourself doing patchwork and things like that. But I mean, there aren't a ton of cul-de-sacs in our rural areas either.
Great. Thank you. That's great information.
Yeah. These are long-winded answers. Sorry.
No. That's great.
On number five, I'm not entirely sure, support resources to check administrative work. Is that just, you know, kind of like what was brought up, maybe to have a planning commissioner along with the zoning administrator to help review that? Is that kind of what that was trying to say?
Would you say yes, John?
Yeah, our consultants, like a planning staff member or professional planner,
So that question was basically that. To give Aaron access to professional resources, specific skills. You know, we've talked in our ordinances for years, but have never really done much on referring documents to an engineer for review. So that question number five is really about what resources we want to make available to whoever is the NL. Number one should have read administrative land use authority. What resources the administrative land use authority could call on technical issues to say, does this or does this not meet the cited code or standard or whatever?
Yeah, thank you. And I think obviously going through this, you know, the ordinance that I have drafted, you know, answers a lot of these questions. But one thing you'll find with the way that I write code is it's usually in the section or subsection heading. Take, for example, minor lot subdivisions. There's a specific exemption in minor lot subdivisions in the state code. So I put minor lot subdivisions as the subheading and then in parentheses, the exact section of state code down to the line of where to find that. And I do that on every single thing. So, you know, when I work for communities, when I'm drafting their ordinances, that's the whole purpose, you know, of both your general plan and your zoning ordinance. Yes, it's to lay down the law for code, but it's also meant to be a guide for town staff, planning commission, town council in reviewing that. So, you know, even going to number six, review criteria. I mean, this ordinance is it's a roadmap for how you know, review these subdivision applications, and it goes step by step in order. You know, one of the first chapters is the conceptual plan review meeting, if it's required, And then it goes right into preliminary plat and then final plat. And it's step by step, referencing state code as you go along on how to review that and what each, you know, authority, what their duties are referenced to state code. So that was one thing that I talked to Jess about that would be in your zoning ordinance, actually, would be, you know, what are the zoning administrator's duties? What are the building officials' duties? What are the planning commission's duties and responsibilities, town council, so on and so forth. So your land use ordinances, primarily the subdivision and the zoning ordinance, they really are the roadmap to set the duties and responsibilities for all those different land use authorities, not to be confused with administrative land use authorities. Public hearing. I do not recommend public hearings for subdivisions just because if they meet all the criteria, they shall be approved. If you want or desire to have a public hearing, the state statute only allows you to have one public hearing. And it has to be, it cannot be with the town council. And since it can't be with the planning commission, the public hearing phase would have to be during the administrative land use authority approval. And where that's usually going to be an individual or a small board, I think it would just complicate or maybe put that group of individuals, you know, in a tough position to maybe, you know, be answering the questions of a packed house. And in my mind, for what, you know, like I say, as long as if somebody comes in with a complete application, when I say complete application, I mean, whatever, you know, application we put together that's filled out in full, but that also includes approved water rights if they're going to be dedicating water to the town or putting them in a private or shared well, a subdivision feasibility study from the local health department saying that each proposed lot has suitable soils for a septic system, approved roads, a will serve letter from Garcane Energy saying that they'll provide power to each lot, all lots meet the minimum lot sizes, frontage, they're in the same zone, they conform to the same zone. Every box has been checked. There is no way for the town to deny that subdivision. And so allowing public comment, you know, for people to say they don't want it, it's just going to confuse the public thinking that they, you know, have a reason to come and that their voice is going to mean something, which, you know, their thoughts might be relevant or whatever. But if all the criteria has been met, you can't deny it. So I don't know what good a public hearing does besides get people worked up, you know, for no reason. And then just have them to be frustrated with the town because their, you know, their voice and their mind wasn't heard. So subdivision infrastructure timing before final approval and after approval, some type of development agreement or bond to ensure completion. It's pretty typical that you do 1 year in rural areas. You could be a little bit more lenient. And development agreements, the only time I would do a development agreement for a subdivision or a zone change would be if there's, you know, town, if there's a need for the town to be involved, whether that's, hey, you know, the town needs to loop our water line in that subdivision anyway. So we as the town, you know, will pay for the material if you as the developer will pay to put it in the ground or vice versa. Otherwise, I would recommend that the developer pay for the infrastructure in full, because again, they're going to recoup that on the back end. And the town has, you know, liability to maintain that in the future. And so the initial burden would likely be on the developer. And there's different bonds that I have. Irrevocable letter of credit, performance bonds, surety bonds are kind of the common ones. And then another thing that you see in rural areas, we've actually done it at the county and it's actually worked, is you could take a value of what the lots, you know, what the developer thinks the lots would be worth. And you could confirm that, you could have them appraised or whatever. And say you're going to have $1 million subdivision for easy math. With, you know, these are going to be beautiful lots. We'll say there's 10 $100,000 lots, again, just for easy math. And you would require, you know, whatever percentage bond, say 20% Usually it's 120%, but say 20%, you could actually force the developer, or, you know, recommend to the developer, if they wanted to go this route, to deed two lots to the town. And then once the infrastructure improvements went in, then the town would deed those back over to the developer. And then if they never sell the lots, then the town has, you know, or if they never make the improvements, then the town has two lots that they could sell off at a later date to the public. Moving on to the second page, importance of objective standards. It's never good to, you know, have conditions or contingencies with a subdivision. It either meets it or it doesn't. And if it does meet it, as I mentioned earlier, it has to be approved. And then I guess number one would be, you know, a question that you all need to answer. What types do you want? I know you have minimum lot sizes and things like that, so that would limit what types of subdivisions can and cannot happen. That kind of mentions or touches on the road thing, you know, imposing infrastructure. Yes, it decreases affordability in a sense, but I would actually argue the other way around. You know, if a subdivider goes in and drills one well for five lots and then sells those lots at $40,000-$50,000 a piece, that might sound expensive opposed to a $20,000 lot. And I'm probably speaking in 2018 terms, but you're probably not getting lots for those prices anymore. But that's one thing I tell people all the time when they're reaching out about property is, well, you know, I'd rather spend X amount of dollars for vacant land and then deal with it all myself. Well, people don't understand how long it takes and how expensive it is to drill a well. And a lot of times, you know, it's not even physically possible. So having all that infrastructure in place guarantees that the subdivision is actually buildable. Whereas if you just, you know, take the developer's word or allow them to sell the lots without the infrastructure, I am here to tell you 90% of those lots in all subdivisions that you approve will never be developed. So I would strongly encourage you, in most cases, there are some exemptions, but in most cases, especially, and I'm going to, you know, put quotes on it, on higher density residential developments. And that doesn't mean, you know, 200 lot subdivisions. That could even mean 20, you know, 5 acre lot subdivisions. It would be very advantageous for the municipality, for the town, to require the developer to put those infrastructure improvements in, because I promise you they will never get done. We have 4 subdivisions in the county that have infrastructure to each lot, water and power connections with all, you know, on-site septic systems. And I would say we probably have 30 to 40 subdivisions in the county, but only 4 of them are fully developed. And many of them are dry subdivisions, which that is one thing that I will add or have added to Boulder Town's ordinances, is a dry subdivision chapter. And I'll elaborate more on that once you have that document in front of you. But essentially, you know, subdivisions that were done 40, 50, 60 years ago, some even as early as 20 years ago, where the developer was not required to make those improvements. And you're left with all these lots that don't have any infrastructure attached to them. And the, you know, the somebody inquiring, I'm sure it's happened in Boulder Town as well. Somebody calls, says, hey, I'm going to buy this lot. It's been approved by the town, so I assume, you know, it's buildable. And then come to find out it's only a half acre or what have you. They can't fit septic in a well on it. You know, it doesn't have a legal road to it. Garcane can't service them. And they're saying, well, how did this ever get approved? It's a really good question. And so I've got a whole section that references that and what the owners of those lands are required to do in order to make them buildable. Other subdivision features we want to ban or discourage. That's probably more of a town discussion. I think all three of these are. I don't know if there's anything that I would add to that right now. Timing on decisions. Again, like I say, I will have a draft to you by the 1st of May and then have that work meeting in May. But I would say we plan on if we could get to it, you know, a public hearing in June or July, I don't see why that wouldn't be feasible in the planning commission. I mean, we could have a work meeting in May and then another one in June if you needed, but in my mind, the ordinance would be ready to be considered by the planning commission by June. So I'll leave you all with that. And after the May work meeting on the 23rd, or if you review that on the 9th of May, we can see how close we are to that. And then the last page, the subdivision standards list. All of these are pretty much, you know, what I have as well. John, I think you did a good job putting this together. You know, really there's not much that I would add or redact from this. I think that pretty well checks the boxes. Maybe I would just be more specific, you know, with, you kind of start with the longest processes or the most difficult to obtain. So I always tell people, you know, what's your water situation? In Boulder Town, it's obviously a little bit different. You know, is there town water nearby? You know, is the town willing to grant a connection? Do they have the capacity to serve you? If not, you know, are you attached to a subdivision with some type of water company? Or would you be, you know, on a shared well with a neighbor? Or would you be doing your own well? And whatever their answer is to that, you know, that'll enter another list of questions. You know, how much water do you have? Is it approved for domestic use? Do you need to file a change application? If so, you better get on that, because, you know, the town's not going to consider, let alone make a decision on an application unless that water is approved for a well where it's, you know, saying that it's going to be located. Next step would be septic system, have that feasibility study for each lot, and then go down the list, power, roads, subdivision plat prepared by a licensed surveyor, an infrastructure plan also done by a surveyor with all of the proposed easements and utility lines. And then if it's sensitive lands, wetlands, slopes, you wouldn't, you know, we could put that in there that you can't build on certain slopes, or you could put that if it is on a certain slope above a certain percentage, you also have to have a soil evaluation study and to even determine if a home can be built on that steep of a slope. And then fire protection and storm drainage would be the last two, and just have provisions in there, which I do. So really, I think I went through that in enough detail. I actually covered everything that I was going to ask. And I don't want to take up too much more of your meeting, but if there's questions for me, I'll take them now. Just keep working toward getting that draft to you all to review.
Great. Thanks, Caden. Okay, is there anyone who wants to add a question? Nancy?
Thanks for that overview, Caden. A couple of things that are near and dear to Boulderites and are part of our general plan are agricultural preservation and open space view sheds. are there ways in sort of as we do this that we think about how we maintain those or support those or don't, you know, eliminate them? So I don't know if you're going to give us any suggestions on that, but because I do think that's something we're going to grapple with as we try to figure out, are there ways for us to ensure that, you know, the character of Boulder is maintained as a rural community? And
yeah, and I think this was brought up in the past. I know, you know, I've heard Lee mention this before. So, you know, the subdivision ordinance regulates the process to subdivide lands, you know, minimum lot sizes and, you know, preservation of open space and things like that. You can put provisions in there saying a subdivision shall have a certain percentage of open space. But in terms of like the specific lots themselves, you'll want to address that in your zoning ordinance, you know, which I think you guys have. I know you've got minimum lot sizes now and density requirements. But I think the open space and the agricultural preservation and, you know, kind of the wildland urban interface, those types of things are more so addressed in the zoning ordinance than they would be in the subdivision ordinance.
I guess one of the things I was wondering is if in the checklists, for example, when we talk about water, if it's possible to determine that the acreage that they're trying to subdivide actually has irrigation shares. And so it's, if that could be something, you know, we'd ask to try to clarify, okay, this has been used for agricultural purposes. And that would set off a bell that says, all right, we need to look at it a little differently. I realize in all of that, a lot of that is in zoning, but I wondered if there was some way as we're going through this that we raise awareness about those kinds of things and the town's intent and interest in trying to maintain it.
Yeah, what's your minimum lot size, area size for agricultural? Are you 5 or 6 acres? Or are you 1 acre?
It's 5 acre minimum, which is something you probably need to talk about because the 6 acres are what from the Greenbelt tax incentive, which is a major incentive for.
So I would recommend 6 for just for that right there specifically, and then another one one thing beyond that is if you have a designated agricultural zone with that 6 acre minimum attached to it and the property meets the requirements of the Utah Farm Land Assessment Act, where they are getting the Greenbelt tax exemption. Yes, you cannot deny a subdivision application. However, if they were petitioning to subdivide property into higher densities than what would be your 6 acre minimum once it's changed, they would have to apply for a zone change in conjunction with their subdivision application. And if you wanted to preserve those certain areas for agricultural use, if the zone change could not be approved, then the subdivision could not be approved. So that is one of the exceptions to where you can deny a subdivision. If they do not preserve that open space or at least designate, maybe if there was a hillside with pinyon junipers that, wasn't in the qualifying for Greenbelt, maybe they could do some ranchette lots up there and then have kind of an open space, more like a planned unit development where that pasture was shared. Maybe you could work around it that way, but you could deny a subdivision application if you did not want to decrease the increase the density and change the zoning. So that would be one. Protected.
And just to clarify, we did, the Planning Commission recommended and the Town Council approved average lot sizing. So even if it is a 5 acre minimum, you can take 100 acres and make a number of smaller lots if you preserve a larger area. You still get 10 units, but you
could. I think you guys call it like cluster developments or cluster subdivisions, something like that, don't you?
But
I would call that a planned unit development, and I would support those types of developments. So a planned unit development, the easiest way that I explain them is think of like apartment or condominium developments where there's all this open space in between the homes, parks and pools and different facilities, even parking spaces. You don't own, the park or the parking lot. You just own your one little structure. That's essentially what a PUD is. There's just a footprint, a building pad of where you can build, and then everything else is open space. And it can be managed by an HOA or, an architectural control committee, a water company for, irrigation, different things like that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Mitch, go ahead. One more question.
Sorry, one other question. And this is trivial, perhaps, but this was coming out of a conversation I had with a zoning administrator a couple of weeks ago. The terminology of preliminary application and final application, when it's basically a subdivision proposal, and there's a preliminary approval and a final approval is sort of the way. are we tied to always saying preliminary and final application? Because in some ways, you're not necessarily... anyway, it's just a subtle language thing of, you know, do we need to call them preliminary applications and final applications, or could we call it a subdivision proposal and then the town provides preliminary approval and final approval?
Yep, I know exactly what you're meaning. And I could tell you, you know, in my 6 years here at Garfield County, I've never referred to it as a preliminary plat or a final plat, because some jurisdictions actually go as far as to require on the plat, you know, it the title of it is preliminary plat, and then it goes to planning commission, and then they approve it, and then they force the, you know, the surveyor or engineer to change that to final plat. To me, that, you know, that's just requiring things that aren't necessary. After we've had our preliminary sketch plan or conceptual, you know, plan review meeting, whatever you call it, and we dial in what the plat is going to look like with all the signature blocks and the layout of the lots, minimum lot sizes, roads, utilities, all those things. And, you know, essentially final draft and PDF version is presented to me and then ultimately the planning commission. That plat never changes unless, you know, there was something wrong. But that plat is the same, and we don't require, you know, the Mylar to be printed. However, I would say it is nice to have it for your preliminary meeting, which would be currently the planning commission, but once the ordinance changes is initiated, your administrative land use authority. It is nice to have that because you could sign it right then and there and then move it on to, you know, to the final approval. But surveyors every single time are worried sick that something's going to change, and heaven forbid they, you know, have to print another $15 Mylar, but it is what it is. I think, you know, you guys could require that just as a convenience to the planning commission and your administrative land use authority, or you could work with them and say, okay, but, you know, as soon as the town council meeting is scheduled, we need to have that. But no, again, long-winded answer. You don't have to call it the preliminary. Essentially, the preliminary meeting is the administrative land use authority, and the final meeting is the town council. So you could just say we're reviewing a subdivision application, and it's in this phase of the review.
That's more what I was, you just hit exactly there, that the preliminary and final are the phases of the review. They're not the application.
Correct.
Application is a subdivision application. So,
correct. Yeah. Again, I keep giving you long-winded answers, but I'm trying to provide background to why they're relevant.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Any other questions? All right, Caden, I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Oh, John, do you have something?
John Brath again here. You hit on this earlier, but I think one of this builds on Nancy's question, that it's been real ambiguous how we have in Boulder in the past handled the issue of work that needs to be done before the plat is recorded. So obviously the developer wants the assurance before they start doing the work that, yes, if I do this, that's sufficient and adequate. So how do you recommend handling the issue of somebody who proposes some combination of roads and wells and infrastructure and getting that work done before the lots are recorded and so forth? We were talking about bonds and so forth. Could you expand on that a little bit more for everyone's benefit?
Yeah, so the language that I have in your draft ordinance, which is consistent, you know, with state law and what I've seen other communities do, is it's actually the opposite of that. It's no site prep, no, you know, dirt work, no road improvements shall be done until not only it's been through the administrative land use authority and approved by the town council, but also ultimately recorded. So there's technically four steps in a subdivision application. Step one is the subdivision submission. And then I'll put a little step 1A in there, conceptual plan review meeting if it's requested. Step two is the administrative land use authority review. Step three is town council action. And step four is filing if it's a record of survey for a minor lot subdivision, or recording if it's a full subdivision plat. And it's not considered final until it's been recorded. And you have usually between 30 and 60 days to record that plat from the date of decision of the land use authority, which would be the town council in this case, of the local jurisdiction. So you wouldn't want any improvements to be made until that's completely approved and recorded. And then once it's recorded, that's when that shot clock, you know, 1 year, 2 years would start, saying you have that time frame to make those improvements, and no building permit shall be issued until those improvements are made. And you can even go as far as to say no lot shall be sold until those improvements are made. And that's common language in, you know, like if you take Washington County or Garfield County or Iron County, you know, that's the language that they would have in theirs.
Yes.
And again, that puts the ball in the developer's court, and you know, they're not going to want to sit on those lots. They're going to want to recoup their investment back as quickly as possible. So it incentivizes them and pushes them to make those improvements ASAP.
So are you including a minor versus the minor subdivisions, or all subdivisions? This is for all subdivisions.
So typically minor lot subdivisions can only occur if all lots. So you can go, and that was one question that I had. State code says you can allow an exemption for subdivisions, and it's meaning minor lot subdivisions for 10 or fewer lots. Typically, you only see 5 lots. So I have it in your ordinance as 5 lots, and I actually did have that highlighted, was do you want to allow all the way up to 10, or do you want to go down to 5? But there's two things that have to be met. It has to meet one of those, you know, it has to be 10 or fewer lots. But then the second thing is that all front an existing dedicated and improved town road. And so the reason that you would allow that exemption is because it's on that road, and you would hope that because it is that it fronts a town right of way, it may even have power at the property, and, you know, hopefully even a town water line. And so all the buyers of the lot would have to do would be to install a private septic system. And so that's why you would allow that exemption, is because most of the infrastructure is already in place.
What about in Boulder, where there's like zero infrastructure?
Yeah.
You would still have the road frontage, you know, at least. And if there's a road, there's probably a power line nearby too. Whether or not there's capacity on that grid, you know, is another question.
That's not a requirement. Like, it's not like, it's just literally the road is the requirement. It's you're hoping that there's infrastructure, but if not, that's still not the
condition. And so although they're, you know, being exempted from the full plat process, if there isn't water nearby, they still would be responsible to develop the potable water system.
Well, all the lots would have to be on the road, not like with a road that accesses the road.
Correct. Yeah, they couldn't, as part of a minor lot subdivision, they couldn't propose any new roads. All lots would have to front existing roads. Mm-hmm. And not just existing platted roads, they would have to be physically there, you know, in real life. So people say that all the time too. Well, look on the plat, there's a road there, you know, like I know you guys have some like 100 West or whatever, but there's always been a road there platted, but
the doesn't field.
Not. So,
and that's how it would have to be for minor subdivisions, or that's like an option we'd have. That's how it has to be.
That the road portion would be a requirement. The number you could be flexible with. You could be anywhere between 2 and 10. You could decide what you wanted. I've always found 5 to be a good number. 10 is kind of a lot to allow, but
mm-hmm.
It's up to you all.
Okay. Any other questions for Katie? All right, we got our homework. Thanks, Caden.
We look forward to your draft. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll get that to you soon. Do you Do you need me for anything else tonight?
No, this is, I think this is it.
All right. Great. Well, you know where to find me if you do. I think everybody's got my contact information. And if not, Jess, you're more than welcome to share it with anybody. So reach out anytime.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks. Have a good night.
You too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Next on our agenda is discussing the key factors to address in the new subdivision. I think we can pretty much go through this list and name them. Is that correct? Anybody want to start this discussion?
So, this is.
Are we sort of number one? Are you sort of number one?
Well, I think that in my opinion, number one is going to come to us from Caden. That I'm looking at the things that we as a planning commission need to specifically decide how we're going to go forward. I think roads is one of them. How we address that.
Yeah, I think roads
and the standards.
But I think number one, we do have to address.
Well, yeah, because we have to decide whether it's a person or a board.
Right.
And
I disagree, sorry.
Oh,
on that, only because it sounds like the town council appoints them.
I think we can make a recommendation to the town council.
That's a good point.
Because when we draft, I mean, we'll have to put something in the subdivision code that we're going to send to the town council.
Right.
So they will have to.
Yeah, we could suggest something.
Yeah, we make the suggestion or the recommendation that it be the ZA and, you know, a planning commissioner. At some point, I thought we talked about it being the ZA and the planning commission, but it sounds like it can't be that.
Yeah, so that's what I thought too.
It can't?
It can't be that.
It cannot be the planning commission as a whole. It can be one member.
Oh, that's what I said, but that's what I thought it would be one, the zoning administrator and one planning commissioner.
Yeah. At some point, we talked about it being the whole planning commission plus the ZA.
But I think
we can still do one, yeah.
Which I think that's a good combination.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting to verify. I think he said you can't have more than two planning commissioners, but I haven't seen that written anywhere, so it'd be interesting to verify that.
Yeah.
Two planning commissioners usually can be on a committee. At least that's how we've done it in the past.
Yeah, unfortunately, this is defined, I guess, in SB 174, but I just don't remember reading that explicitly. But
yeah,
so I do think we have to make this decision. I mean, as to, you know, do we want a ZA and a planning commissioner and then a member of the community? How do we choose that?
I think that's confusing. I mean, I think it'd be great to add somebody, but how do you?
Yeah.
How would you do something like that? Like, about people's names?
Yeah.
And do we really need to have three? I mean, it could be two, I guess.
I kind of feel like it could be two. Like, I see what he's saying with votes and, like, there being a majority, but also, like, I think two reasonable people can usually come to.
And especially like if our checklists are really
clear. Yeah, if it's all really clear, it's not going to be, like, I say they have power and two other people say they don't. Like, they're either going to have it or they don't, the way the new thing is, you know?
Maybe the secret prize for winning the talent contest
is getting to be on the
administrative job.
Can I hop in there to that?
Sure, Lee.
I think the way Caden stated it was a little bit misleading in that the town council is not going to appoint the land use authority. The ordinance is going to specify the land use authority, and the town council will adopt that ordinance, but it isn't a separate act. The administrative land use authority will be defined in the ordinance, and I think that's actually what you're going to see from Caden. I think that it is hard for planners to get out of the old language of how we used to do things and into the new SB 174 reality. But in this case, the law is requires that you say who or what the administrative land use authority is, and it's going to be in the ordinance, and I'm pretty sure that you'll see that in what Caden gives you. And I guess that beyond that, my sense is the decision maker needs to be the zoning administrator, but in order to make that person's job easier, the only way I can see it work is what you all have been talking about here, is that planning commission members rotate through month by month or in whatever order you choose to do so, so that the zoning administrator has a sounding board and a person who they can say, hey, does this make sense in the big picture as the planning commission and the community would see it? So I think that's almost the only direction that makes any sense, is to say that the signature on the decision is going to be the ZA's, but that the planning commission will provide the ZA with support by having members take turns in that role, being the ZA sounding board. There are not a whole lot of other options, actually, because the town council's barred from this. And trying to figure out how to involve a member of the community is, how do you decide who does that, under what terms and conditions? That's a discussion that all by itself could consume several months without coming to a good conclusion. I think your options are limited.
And you think, Lee, it's better to rotate between the planning commissioners than to pick one or two that volley it back and forth?
My sense is that it would be better to say it's Colleen in January, Tina in February, Elena in March, and to just have it, I mean, it's essentially a thing that would eventually appear in bylaws, is that the members would rotate on a monthly basis, and each member would basically get 2 months out of the year. I don't think that just having one or two people bear the whole thing is reasonable from my perspective. I think everybody needs to participate. I think it needs to be an expectation. If you want to be a member of the planning commission, then you understand that that's going to be a role that you play at certain times.
Or maybe quarterly basis or 2 months, because it's just as you're getting the hang of it, you know.
Well, that's what I wonder about.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, you guys can set the timing any way you want.
We can. So that is.
Okay. So
and then roads.
Yeah. Roads. Access.
Access and roads.
Standards. Okay, so there's a lot of information that we have collected over the last while. I highly recommend we put together a committee that can bring it all together. But I don't know. That's...
I wonder if we should have a work meeting on it specifically, and you know, look at the pieces of information and then see if we need a committee to come up with a recommendation rather okay. than putting it into a committee first. I mean, you know, what do we already know? What do we want? I mean, the two options he gave us of, you know, does the standard, do our roads into subdivisions have to meet the standards of the roads it connects to? I think they all sort of went, no. So, you know, we're a rural community, so yeah. Maybe it's.
Plus, we have, so I mean, everybody has almost, I mean, there's so many tractors in town, and, you know, our maintenance can be within town only if it isn't chip seal.
Right.
Chip seal,
you're bringing it
we're
in.
We're bringing it well, in.
Yeah, totally.
Right. So anyway.
So that's a decision that sounds like we can make easily, but then sort of the standards that John worked up previously of, you know, how thick does it have to be? You know? Yeah.
Right. And I did.
But then the other ones are sort of the access. I mean, is it an easement? Is it reported? You know, all of those details, I think we need to go through I mean, I started to think about the checklist of, you know, those things. I mean, what type of road does it meet? What are the standards? Are the easements recorded? Is there a road maintenance agreement? I mean, these are the sort of things we need to talk through.
Yeah.
So it seems to me maybe just a work discussion on roads would be helpful to say. And anyone who has any expertise like John can come and enlighten us on what we should be.
Well, you suggested one time Sam Stout. He never came and talked to us about roads or stamp, or, you know, because, you know, I don't know if he would still be somebody. I mean, I don't know if it would be worth it to have somebody talk to us about that, or whether we have already these standards, we just have to pick one. Is that, you know, like he just said too, either chip and seal or gravel, you know, and with the cap on it or whatever. I mean, he gave us two examples. So we kind of cringed at the chip and seal. So there's our option.
I think any expertise, anybody who knows something about the roads in town and what it would take to maintain.
I mean, what did they decide on what was the 100 North? I don't want to say the name.
Andy's Road.
Yeah. I mean, what was decided on that road?
What do you mean what was decided?
I mean, what was the specifications for that road?
Just the road base.
Yeah, because I think that's an example, or if that right there is an example of what I would like to see around town. Basically, and what were those specifications? And so that particular road, wherever there is chip and seal road, I mean, not chip and seal, but any of the roads that we do have, that's what it would look like coming off of any of our, like Lower Boulder, if you have a subdivision. That right there is what would come off of, you know, Lower Boulder or Highway 12 or those kinds of roads. That would be the example. And like, does that make sense?
Yeah.
So in the subdivision up here, which you live in, they did the chip and seal. How is that going up there?
It's exactly how Caden said that. If it's squishy and thawing out, any weight on it obliterates it. So on the edges, are getting really torn up. Or if a vehicle stops and turns the wheel and it's in that state, it's gone. It's only like 3/4 of an inch. It's not thick.
Oh, wow.
It's so when it's moist under, it's super sensitive. So
it just seems like a gravel road too. It doesn't do those same things, but gravel, if you make a sharp turn or something, is going to kind of dig into your gravel, but it's a lot more cost effective.
Yeah.
Right. As far as having a developer, because you're putting that burden on the developer, right? Basically in the subdivision. Right,
the town.
That's what he was suggesting.
Yeah, right. So that's kind of what we're saying. So if we put that on the develop, I mean, they would have to keep that maintained anyway.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm thinking about my own road, which is a half a mile, and I remember years ago we dumped a bunch of gravel on it because it had gotten down to clay. Our roads are clay and dirt. I have either ready sand or I'm sitting right on slick rock, and then we took and put gravel over the top of it, and we've done that in several spots because you guys know what my road looks like basically. It's not great, and then when it snows I have deep ruts if wherever the gravel isn't, because it's so muddy, and that's what we have here. So no matter either way, it seems like they're going to deteriorate in the weather that we have here.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm more prone to go for the gravel, some kind of gravel, yes. But not okay. The so chippings.
This is what we have to decide.
Yeah.
A work discussion.
Yeah. Okay. So that means that everybody needs to bring all information that they want to share to those work meetings so that we have, I mean, I would say that in order to get, agreement, even in a hearing, we have to have some kind of cost, like for chip and seal versus, or
well,
something.
It's going to be a developer cost. I mean, we don't have to say anything about cost. We just have to say this is the standard.
Yeah. I mean, I think we should consider cost because it's going to influence what type of subdivision we end up having potentially and what, like, it influences land prices and all that stuff. But I don't think we need to.
It's not going
to
be part of
the ordinance. Yeah, like, we can think about it when we're making that decision, but I don't think we need to, like, say what it would cost.
This
probably
minor ordinance exemption. Being from a town, existing and approved town road is interesting because there aren't very many of them.
And I was going to say, I do wonder.
I'm like, I do wonder. We don't have many of them.
Yeah. I wonder if that's totally a absolute thing in the ordinance that we can't get around, because otherwise, I mean, I've been thinking this for a while that maybe, I don't know if they're going to do it, but at some point it seems like the town might need to adopt some more roads because we require things to be on roads and then we don't have any freaking roads.
I agree with that, Elena. I was thinking today in our workshop, we look at the roads and we say, which road should the town adopt? And, it's sort of push and make a recommendation. I mean, all they can do is say no, but, at some point, we may need more roads managed by the town.
And that would be part of like a transportation plan.
Right.
We can start work on it because we don't have a transportation plan.
Yeah. Well, in our general plan, we talk about transportation. There is something.
But we don't have a plan. I mean, I just think that we need to kind of
you're like in the next 2 roads, we're taking these over, or 2 years, we'll take these roads over.
Yeah.
We'll develop these. That's what you mean.
Or even have like it so that you could. Like,
I mean, that's not part of our subdivision ordinance.
Because you end up with these lots that are just kind of stranded, and then.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing is if we are going to have more subdivisions, not more. But we are moving into places in the town that don't have roads, right now, and that's kind of what we're talking about. As far as it would be interesting to see it built out more, as far as what that's going to look like in the future from where we stand right now. You're such an example right now as far as what's happening just in your little corner.
Yeah.
And providing roads for, these subdivisions that potentially can come in.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I think there is a distinction in whether, if you're talking about a small subdivision of 2, 3, 4 homes, and again, the 5-acre minimum is a big limitation. So it's not like there's going to be, the Boulder's not going to be paved over, right? But if we look at a medium or large subdivision, so if someone has the ability to put in 10 or 12 units, and then that's gravel, at some point down the road, is it going to be forced to be chip sealed? And then who bears that cost? So maybe should we really consider whether the medium or large subdivisions are required to really, really nail it when it comes to infrastructure so that the town isn't stuck with the bill 15 years later?
So we tier the road standard based on subdivision size.
Yeah.
But the only thing is that he said even a minor can't have new roads. Right? So even if it's 2, you can't have a new road. Right? Did I understand that correctly?
Can't have a new road. It has to come off the public road. But I guess that means it can't have a new road.
So like
he said it can't have a new road.
If this is the road.
Yeah.
Your lots have to be divided this way so that it has a frontage and a frontage. It can't be divided this way because this lot is not off the main road.
Yeah.
So your lot, this, it, like it does. So even if it's two lots, you still could divide this one in this half. But then it's not a minor anymore because now you're needing a new road. I don't know for sure.
I'm curious to go.
Yeah,
curious to revisit that part myself. I'm sure he knows what he's talking about, but just to see it myself, because one of the things that brought up for me is, well, a lot of the way it is in Boulder is that the irrigated lands are on the road, and then further back from the road, there's Mesa or something. So it's like, if this lots all have to be on the road, that's not perfect for that goal, the open space goal for minor subdivision. So that's something to think about. So
maybe you just have to clarify.
Yeah, although the infrastructure, as he said, the power and water is often on the road too.
So right, that's right.
Another rationale.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
but that was the point, was the having the infrastructure.
Right.
We will have the benefit of his draft before we have this discussion, so that.
And I'm curious if power is necessary for SB 174, because it's not currently. You don't currently, for a subdivision, have to prove that you have power from the town, and that leaves people open to having solar. Because right now, it's like, you could have solar and a well and not take your utilities from the road really at all if you don't want to. As it stands,
there's nothing in state law that requires power.
Yeah, so we probably don't want to put that in SB 174, so we can leave it open to clean energy out.
Let's see what he does.
But it's something to keep on our radar, I think.
Well, anything else on those? So basically, this is on our. So when we get to this, I'll just put this down as possible. So we want to wait until after we get the draft.
Well, we'll have the draft by our next meeting.
So. Okay. So then the work meeting maybe could be.
You'll have your draft in 5 days.
I mean, I just want to, he said the end of the month of the very first, that's in 5 days.
So the other thing too is our next meeting, which is in 2 weeks, is a regular meeting.
Right.
And so then we don't have a work meeting until.
Well, we can talk about this at a regular meeting too.
Right. But yeah. I'm just saying, I'm in my own mind, I'm thinking we're having a regular meeting now, and we just need to put it on the agenda.
Right.
As far as that goes. And then we'll have a work meeting. So there'll be other things on the agenda. It'll be a regular. Yeah. There again, I'm just clarifying in my own mind.
Right. So we'll get that draft before our next meeting. So that will be our homework for that.
Mm-hmm. And then we'll just have it on the agenda as something.
Yep.
As something. Yes.
Yeah.
As something.
Yeah. Anything else that we need to discuss based on this particular?
I mean, it sounds like he is flagging for things in his draft that we will need to discuss.
Right.
I mean, even the five lots and the minor lots I've been thinking about this. I mean, I do think, you know, things like sensitive lands and wetlands and slopes, but again, he may already have this in you.
So. Yeah, we do have the sensitive lands for slope pretty clearly. Wetlands are not so particular.
I mean, these are all things that I was thinking today that it's almost like the checklist. We should write down the things we want people to take into account when they propose a subdivision. I mean, all of these things. And then make sure that they're somewhere in our code, right? I mean, it's, we can try to go through our code, which is a pain in the butt, honestly. And then we're going to create a checklist that's going to be easy for Erin to use.
Yeah.
So that when she gets an application,
she
can very quickly go through and say, you do this, you do this.
Yeah.
And even the application form needs to be pretty explicit. Do you have this? Did you do this? How do you address this? So, if we can make those forms really clear, then it will make it a whole lot easier to do this in the time frame that is being asked.
Yeah. So, yeah, it seems like the things are mostly who the authority is.
And so are we creating the forms, or the zoning administrator or Caden?
I think he actually is. He was said that if we wanted him to do the application forms, he would be willing to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be streets.
Okay.
That nice to see what he came up with between so that Aaron would have
input on it.
An idea of what's coming and input in it too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another thing he mentioned that we might want to talk about is he had mentioned maybe changing the 5-acre minimum to a 6-acre minimum, and we'd have to decide if we wanted to do that.
That would happen in zoning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the subdivision.
Right. Happens. But either way.
Right.
And all we have for ag land, because we have no zoning for ag land, it's just GMU.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Because.
But it's still 5-acre.
Yeah.
They're going to divide it.
Yeah.
Which, you know, the incentive to keep ag land is that you get a tax break if you're doing something in agriculture, but you need 6 acres to do that.
To do that. Yeah.
And yeah.
And there's wow. And there's a back tax on that too. I think it's 5 years back tax if you change it.
Right. Right.
But going forward, it seems like that is one of the incentives we should think about.
Yeah, it's tricky because it's, in a way, it's an incentive. But I mean, you go down Lower Boulder and you see second homes that have greenbelt taxes everywhere, you know, like they're not doing any ag.
Right.
They have great taxes, but they're not doing any ag.
They're growing pasture. And
it's, I mean, everybody down Lower Boulder is GMU, and very few of them are actually doing agriculture. So
anything under 6 acres is not cheap. Is not considered that.
Right. But most Lower Boulder is still more than that.
All right. Okay, so just we'll just, I think we should just focus on a couple of these.
Well, we will know more once we see his draft and where he has questions.
Okay. So should we share some kind of list that we're gonna hope to work on I don't know. I'm just trying to get us to the point where at our meetings we're actually clear about what we're actually gonna talk about based on.
Yeah.
And you know, and have not actually trying to convince each other of anything, but actually having a list like this should be discussed, right? Should be discussed at our meetings ahead of time.
Well, we know two things.
Right.
You know, and I got those. Administrative land use authority and access roads.
Yeah, those feel like the main thing.
So those are, and roads access easements is a big thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
No, I think that's
what so it's
and then Caden will identify
up. Would be enough. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
To get us started.
Okay. Is there any other comments on this particular discussion before we go forward? The next one is discussing the potential actions to take after the forum. So we sent us something. And what I'd like to just say, just have here from everybody, like, starting with the transfer development plans, he's given us, you know, some wording that, you know, might be better worded, but how do we feel about pursuing this? And if we are interested, I think then we could ask that be, you know, somehow put into language so that we can review that. And so this is the first step. So does anyone want to start with the discussion on transfer development options?
Could I just comment on the comment that John made at the beginning of the meeting? Before we start writing ordinances or language on any of these, do we want to
talk to the town council?
Have a discussion about sort of what we're interested, we think we might be interested in pursuing, and then go to the town council and ask if, you know, they'd support us doing that. Because if they're not supportive of us moving forward on these things, then we'd be wasting our time.
Sure.
And I think that's what our next step should be, is to go to the town council and see if they want us to go forward with
Okay, so can we talk about it
ourselves?
Yeah. So just how do people feel about the transfer development option that he's given? He says none, agricultural land only that you get to transfer from agricultural land, or allow irrigated lands only to parcels where the additional development permits would be affected screening. So screening being a need for transfer development plans. And he talks about even having the medium density areas being changed a little bit for size, so that transfer development could be into that area specifically. Basically, this is all about possibly also affordable situations. So if those lots can be closer to, you know, access to infrastructure, that's an affordable issue. Does anybody have any had time to look at that at all?
So I think if we crunch the numbers and look at the maps, and if we adopted no transfer development rights, then what we'd see is not, I don't think you'd be preserving the character. I think it actually runs counter to the character of Boulder. If you're saying that one of the most important things is to preserve the ability to run agriculture, fighting this kicking and screaming would force development to only be in very specific areas. It could not be shifted or transferred to areas that are, you know, if it's in the PJ scrub, then you're only going to get X number of lots. You can't transfer lots from a very visible area into a screened area. So I think that some form of TDR is extremely beneficial to achieving a lot of the goals that we have down on paper. Whether that's how far down this list we go is a separate question. But I think for me, I think the question is absolutely we should entertain some form of TDR. I mean, does anyone have questions on it? Because I think the example they gave of you could add four lots up in the PJ scrub without TDR, but if you added TDR, you could make that up to 6, 10, whatever it was. And it's, yeah, rather than forcing the lots to be down in the middle of Boulder, super visible from parts in the highlight.
So I think there's some benefit to TDRs. I think it's a tool in the toolbox of what we might want to look at. I also think it's really complicated, and you know, sort of starting, like, I wouldn't start there in terms of
the
options or, you know, how we might encourage development and density and affordability. But I do think it's a tool we should consider in our toolbox, but I think it's going to take a lot of discussion around it. So I just wouldn't start there. I think some of these others might be.
But maybe we should present it as an idea that we would like to see how the town council.
Are they supportive of us pursuing that? But I would say yes, I'd be supportive of pursuing it. It wouldn't be on top of my agenda right now.
Okay. How about building form options?
Well, there's others have comments.
Oh, TDRs. I'm sorry. Anybody else on TDRs?
No, I feel the same way. I feel the same way as far as what Daryl said. I think that we should not, it's not that we do not allow TDRs. I don't think that we should go that direction. I think out of that there's 1, 2, 3, 4. And I guess for me, I'd like to see the town council direct us a little bit more on how to go forward on this.
Yeah.
Because I don't know that I want to pick
one of these, maybe all of them. I mean, you know, there's some good options there, and what the town council wants us to do. Because there again, this is not at the top of our list.
Okay, great. So that's all I have to say. Anyone else?
Yeah, I'm fine with bringing it to town council and seeing what they think. I'd also be fine with us, like, by raise of hand, showing what we think of each of these four. But if we want to just present all four to the town council and see what they think, I think that's fine too. So, yeah, that's fine.
Any other comments based on? So, show of hands, we'll just take it to the town council and see what they say. Whether they want us to move forward on it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's just go on. Sorry. Building forums.
And are we going to do that at their next meeting?
Let's talk about that one.
Okay. Great.
Yeah. We got 20 minutes. Or it's 9. So, I mean, we could just do that for all of these if we wanted to. Let's just say, okay, town council, would you be willing to let us do this? The thing about the zoning, in my opinion, is that these items are about affordable housing and options for more affordable situations. It's also an option for people to divide their land so that they have options too, you know, that they can continue to have a irrigated area or ranching area. So if the town does not want us to pursue this, then we have a subdivision ordinance with average lot sizes. And that's, and it's all in our zoning ordinance that all of this will be.
Yeah.
It's, subdivision is just like what you have to have to do whatever. Mm-hmm. So this is, for me, this seems to be an important part of a...
I think it'd be good to go to them and ask for some guidance, but I think it would be good for us to narrow it down a little bit first and, like, have a recommendation of what we, or, you know, like the building form options. There's a lot of options we could go through, and if, you know, kind of see if we can come to some sort of consensus. If we, you know, totally all feel differently about everything, then we'll just go to town council and say, what do you guys think? But I think we might be able to narrow it down a little on our own.
Well, I think the thing too is the building form options is, I think Lee talked to us about it as far as ADUs, duplexes, which seem to be the same thing, where they're going to be, yeah, so I would like to open it up to even just duplexes and the ADUs and how we can make it so that they're seem to be the same, so that the wording is changed or maybe a little differently. Because now we have ADUs, and do we change the ADUs to where they're also duplexes or?
Well, I think the difference is, an ADU, you have to live in one of the units. I mean, you have
the owner
has to live in it. Whereas duplexes, you could rent them both.
Yeah, and so
I think the kind of one of the main questions here with the duplex thing is, like, do we want to allow duplexes, basically like the second one? Do we want to allow duplexes wherever a single family dwelling is permitted?
Right.
If we do, then we don't really have to address the rest of them. If we don't, then we choose only if they're affordable, only in MDR, only in MDR if they're affordable. You know, like, there's, we might want to decide what we think about them in general, because if we all feel like, yeah, just allow duplexes wherever you can have a single family dwelling, then we don't really have to do much with the rest of it.
Right.
In my, what I would do probably is a combination of the second one, which is allow duplexes wherever a single family dwelling is permitted. Duplexes do not qualify for ADU, so this doesn't change the already permitted density. A combination of that and the last one, which is allow multifamily up to blank units in the MDR if blank percent of the units are affordable. I don't know what I think the right percentage is at the moment, but basically, for me, it's like, okay, sure, a duplex everywhere. That doesn't bother me. And then in NDR, you could have a you could have a fourplex, you know, you could have a multifamily unit up to, you know, whatever number that we decide. You know, you could do four units if half of them are affordable. You could do four units if 100% of them are affordable. I don't know if that probably doesn't math out with building costs, but I would probably do that as duplexes everywhere and then allow fourplexes or some number in town.
Well, and as far as using the word affordable too, I think we just got the information as far as what the county considers affordable. And are those the formulas that we'd be using? Because we do have that information now.
Yeah, we would have to decide that. And that's true for this one and for the TDR thing. And something I wonder is if we should go forward with, yeah.
I know. Yeah.
I wonder if we should go forward with things that don't have affordability parameters for right now, because we have a lot of other stuff on our plate, and add those in later at a certain point, just to kind of like Lee's saying, sort of like test the waters, you know, like allow duplexes, and maybe a year goes by and no one builds a duplex, and then we put in an affordability thing then, you know. Like I think we have to keep that in mind in Boulder, that like in the long run, these things are going to go up, but like, it's not like if we allow duplexes, there's going to be like 18 duplexes built in town in the next 6 months. It's just like not what's going on here, you know.
Yeah, do you have anything?
Basically, everything Elena said was, yes, I agree. Very good ideas. And if you think the sky will fall because we allow duplexes, then let's say that it sunsets after 2 years or 3 years or whatnot. And I highly doubt that a lot of the lots in this town are very expensive. And if somebody spent a lot of money just buying a chunk of land, the odds of them putting a duplex are pretty low. So I think just the duplexes alone may not solve it, but adding multifamily in the village center, that makes sense there are numerous lots in town where that could happen quickly, and someone could find the funding for that, and then we'd have kids that can walk to school easily in the town center, and they don't have to spend $900,000 to buy a place. So, I think this, we can get a lot of bang for our buck and really help people in this front.
Great. How Nancy, do you have anything to say about this?
I think I agree. I do agree with what's been said. And I think going to town council and saying, you know, we're considering that we would allow duplexes wherever single family dwellings are permitted, and we try it for a 2-year pilot program or a 3-year pilot program, whatever. It takes a while to get things done here, so maybe it's a 3-year pilot. And then we will allow multifamily units in the MDR, and see how town council reacts. I mean,
yeah. This should be... We could bring them that second statement and the last statement. And when we bring them the last statement, we could even just leave the blanks in and see what number of units they think is reasonable. Because fourplex seems to make sense to me for some reason, but in terms of the percentage of units affordable, I'd have to like think about that more. I don't know.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking that we'd go in and say are affordable to begin with. I mean, that we would just see whether anybody's wanting to build multifamily units. We may want to put I don't know, you know, we don't want a 7-story building in downtown Boulder, I don't think. So
we have limits already in that.
How many stories? Two stories. Okay, so
we have a limit on that. My thought in this, and I mean, this is going beyond what we just discussed, is that making them, if you had a duplex or a fourplex, it would be for rentals, for long-term rentals. It would not be for
There's no more short-term rentals that these are going to create. That would be a stipulation.
Okay. All right. We want to go on to incentives on open space.
I kind of feel like, surprisingly enough, I feel like I would skip these for now.
Okay.
Not like skip us talking about it, but just not do them for now. But I think the bonuses, I think they're kind of interesting, but I also think they get into a different territory.
Any other comments on that?
I actually agree with that. I think those are more complicated in different ways. We're making, you know, incremental changes here that, and we're not talking about at this point in time looking for 200 units to be built in Boulder. I mean, we're, you know, if we had 10 more units, that may be more than enough at this point in time. So obviously we're making laws that in 100 years things are different, but we don't have to make that law today.
And I think it'd be good to, I don't know how we go about doing this, but I think this, it'd be good to keep this kind of thing like on the back burner, like not just like throw it away entirely, you know, maybe revisit it after, if we do a couple pilot programs or something after those are done and revisit it, or even after we've done this SB 174 thing and have a little more space for other things, you know, because I think they're interesting ideas. I just think that right now it might be more than we can handle.
Okay, so who wants to go and present this at the town council?
I was actually just going to make that point. So town council meeting is next Thursday. So it's a week from today, just because of the way that you guys switched your meetings. So normally there'd be, you know, a good 2 to 3 weeks before. Unless someone is like speedy fast, which actually maybe you are because it's already typed up, but to have that information to the TC by tomorrow. So like the information needs to be, you don't have to present it, but there needs to be a document ready so that they have the ability to research some of that. And then knowing that it'll still just be a discussion on their part, I would not expect a vote out of them just because of how fast this is. And they will not have had the time. So just the real world. And they could.
Meeting the next.
Yeah. So whatever, it's just a really fast turnaround. This isn't usually your guys' timeline when you send stuff to the town council. So I just want to let, we're really trying to, for the town council, give them that space to be able to research the information on time to have an informed decision. And I mean, Monday at the latest, if they were up for that, but I still think it would be a discussion. There would be no voting.
Yeah.
And that's still their choice, but that's.
Well, if we take that time frame, then it seems like we could draft the, you know, one pager. One of us could draft the one pager and bring it back to the planning commission at our next meeting and say, does this reflect what we agreed on and we okay with this? And then put it in the town council agenda for their June meeting.
Yeah,
I
mean, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Did I hear you volunteer?
I'm willing to do it. I suggest that you and I could make the document together, and I'd be happy to present it to town council.
Okay, that sounds good. Okay,
so Elena and Nancy. Yeah. Nancy's going to have a new job theme for this meeting. Okay. Okay, so. So now on the agenda is the vote.
So
nomination.
Can I say something? I wanted to, in the incentives for affordable housing, I think what Lee did with us too here is there are so many, whatever word we decide to use, we all seem to know what it means, whether it's affordable, whether it's a house, whether it's attainable, and it's also workforce, housing. So we don't have any true definitions. Maybe we'll get one. But I think that when we talk about these things, whether you say affordable, attainable, or workforce housing, we know what we're talking about. Does that make sense?
Definition.
Like a clear definition. They're all the same. And sometimes, you know, we're talking about affordable and sometimes we're talking about attainable, but it all means the same thing to us. That's what we're working towards. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
We're not just going to have one specific word. And I think that's what he's trying to say is whatever word we use, we seem to understand that, you know, whether it's attainable, affordable, or worker, it's all kind of the same.
So which one do you want to use?
I think they should be interchangeable. That's what I'm saying is let's not put a clear definition on it because we never seem to stick with one definition word. You know, so
certainly until we require an affordable situation. Okay.
So
okay.
If I'm talking to you about something that has to do with affordable housing, maybe I'm talking about workforce housing,
mm-hmm.
but to me, they just all seem to be kind of the same. And anyway, okay. I just kind of wanted to, and it's okay. Thank you, Nancy. And that's what I wanted to say.
Yeah. Okay. I agree. I think that when it comes to affordable, it's more like we need to actually define that if we are going to make that an incentive.
And we for do something have more. That definition now.
Well, we don't have it.
We have information. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And what is attainable?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, gosh, it just seems like attainable is worse than affordable as far as what I'm seeing happening in town, as far as what people want for their property anymore. Like, to me, it just seems, I don't know, like that's, yeah.
Yeah.
So they just seem, yeah. Thank you, Nancy.
Something we might want to consider, I'll just throw it out there, in my old jurisdiction, we put in place an affordable housing pilot program and basically asked developers or Habitat for Humanity or anybody who might be interested and have the inclination to come and make a proposal and say, you know, and then we would look at whether we could potentially minimize some of our guidelines and our requirements, shorten, you know, processing times or whatever, to make it possible for them to actually build the project. And it was a three-year project we put in place, and we ended up having several applicants. Habitat for Humanity came into town and has built 50 units. This is a bigger place, but,
right.
But the idea was, you know, what's impeding, have some of the developers or people who want to do something tell us what's impeding their ability to do it, and then let us decide, let the city council or town council or planning commission decide whether, you know, that sounded reasonable, and we would let it proceed as a pilot program. It's kind of like having an overlay, you know, we talked about in MOAB that,
yeah,
something like that, that, you know, you'd sunset it after a while if, you know, you didn't get applicants.
That's like the idea of pilot programs in general.
Me too. Kind of sunset.
I like it. Yeah.
So we could talk about that at some point.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
I'll have to look into that.
All right. Any other comments on this before we move on? I'm sorry. I'm feeling
it's 9:05.
Okay, so we have a vote on a new chair.
You have to nominate.
We have a vote on a new chair agenda item. We need a nomination.
I nominate Nancy. This is Elena.
I'll second that.
Do you second it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Any discussion?
Sounds great.
Okay, let's have a vote.
Aye, Corinne Thompson.
Elaine Hughes, aye.
Daryl, aye.
Tina Carlson, aye.
Nancy Costa, aye.
Thank you, Nancy. Okay, so Nancy.
And thank you, Tina,
yeah,
for your time.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, Nancy's going to be better.
great.
All right, folks, we're going to get
So I'm going to finish up this meeting and let you take over the next one. So final public comments. On what we discussed.
Somebody's enrolling them.
I know, but I'm not letting them in without a last name.
Who is
Oh, you didn't attend the town council meeting to know why we have such hard boundaries now, because that was terrifying.
Who is it?
Tom. Who knows?
Did you ask him for a last name?
You can't, because they're not in the waiting room. I don't, or because you can't.
You can't like chat in the waiting room.
No.
It can be Tom Hoyt.
No, yeah, but it could not.
They're under Hoyt's when they come in.
Oh, they are. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
I mean,
they are.
Even if he's not, I'm just saying, I'm not willing to take that risk. Right. And so it I also feel like it's meeting. 9 o'clock that they have joined the meeting. So if they can, I mean, they can listen to the recording.
Okay. Sounds fair. All right. So let's see.
Because the last ones we let in were Bill.
Yeah.
Oh, so
I
know.
Remember.
Yeah, it was terrifying.
Okay. So no final comment.
Oh, Judy has her.
Judy Drain.
Yeah, I just want to say you guys are doing a good job. I like the idea of sending that to the town council, but I also like the idea of you deciding on what you want instead of sending everything. You guys have done a really good job. And Tina, thank you so much for your time and everything you put into the chair. I really appreciate it. Basically, that's all I wanted to tell you. Been a good meeting. Thank you. They usually all are. It's just like the town council. We work our way through, and sometimes we're totally successful, and, well, sometimes we aren't. So you guys are doing a good job. Keep moving forward.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, so the upcoming meeting on the 9th, and I actually added the 23rd only if we wanted to slide things over there on our agenda. So it's agenda items.
On the 23rd, yeah.
Yeah.
So it seems like I can think of three. There's the discussion of SB 174, obviously, and then the accompanying decisions we need to make that we talked about, for instance, in the ALUA, Administrative Land Use Authority.
Right.
AWUA. and then the potentially the PED path or the PATH committee results. The document we just described to pass to the town council on these options coming out of the forum. That's what I had on my list.
Yeah, I'm trying.
That's a good start. I wonder,
Rose.
I wonder if we can get a PED path update by that meeting, because if we can, I think that might be nice. And then if we were to push anything to the next one, maybe the subdivision stuff, just so we have more time with that document.
You were just saying two roads.
Yeah, roads is part of the Caden document.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
And the 23rd Caden will be available.
And roads, basically, we're just talking about.
Yeah. Where we want to go with that.
Maybe in your May 9th meeting, you'll decide if you want to talk about roads in your May 23rd meeting, or if you want to hold its own meeting.
Yeah.
And talk about that in the May 9th
meeting. Right. I imagine that on the 29th, May 23rd. We'll also want to talk about and Caden will be here at that time. So we'll want to talk about what we don't want versus what we do want, and where we have questions, or, you know, where that goes. And then it ends up June that we actually would vote on it, which means that it wouldn't go to town council until July.
You don't need to worry about these things
anymore. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm just stating that. It's a fact.
Yeah. And that's if we even vote on the in June.
Yeah.
Because we'll still
have
Yeah.
We still have several.
Yeah, we've got a bunch of.
Yeah.
We're going to have a meeting every week. Did I tell you that?
Oh, I can.
I need a snack potion.
I resign.
Okay, I think that's great. Okay. Anything else before we?
There's no objection.
Thank you for taking the chair on.
I beg you.
You may want to wait and
I doubt it.
We'll see. I need help. You guys are.
What do you think of having, you know, some kind of Google Doc within the Planning Commission that we have? I'd like to add this discussion in our, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I have trouble with Google. I like Google Docs very much for certain purposes. Say, yeah. And it can be hard because, like, I just won't necessarily
look. Yeah.
Whereas, like, I'll see an email for sure. But, like, Google Doc, like, I'll look if I'm adding something to it. But if I don't add anything, and you add something after I did, I might not go back and, add it to my morning.
Let's not complicate it. Okay.
So my thought on just a heads up, just on process, is to try to get a draft agenda out a week to 10 days before the meeting. And we'll just go, which we can't, we can do it. We don't have a meeting. No, we have a meeting next week. No, 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Okay. Yeah. So that you guys can review it and say, oh, yeah, that's what I remember that for. I'd love to add this. So we've got an iteration amongst ourselves. Before then, we send it to Jessica and say, here's the final agenda. So that's my hope, is that.
Like on Wednesday or Thursday of the week.
Of the week before, that you can all see it.
Well, that was always my goal. So good luck on that.
I know.
You always have notes. Your notes came out always before the
meeting. No, not the last two.
That's true.
And I don't know how much note. Tina has done pretty extensive. Anyway, we'll see.
Cool. It'll be okay. So
I need to adjourn.
Okay. I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay.
Meeting. Thanks,
guys.
Cool.
I'll be on Zoom May 9th, but I'll be there.
Okay.